This is the voice of the Trumpet Magazine. News, economy, politics, trends, discovery, health, family, the Bible, the future. This is Trumpet Hour.
Welcome to Trumpet Hour. I'm Jeremiah Jacques, and we appreciate you spending some of your time with us on this autumn day. Well, it was 1 month ago yesterday that Hamas terrorists stormed into Israeli neighborhoods and slaughtered 1,400 men, women, and children, and kidnapped more than 200 others. And in the time since, tensions have soared around the world, with many nations such as Russia and China actually taking the side of the terrorists, and with several other nations looking like they may get militarily involved if there is any kind of escalation. Seems like it's not the same world that it was back on October 6th. And one of the major developments has been Germany taking steps to better position itself for military operations in the Middle East. Nowhere is this more apparent than in Cyprus, which we'll hear about in a report from one of the Trumpet's main Germany watchers, Josue Michels. In a related story, we'll take a look at the way Germany has presented itself as an unyielding ally of Israel, even as so many nations around the world refuse to condemn Hamas or even go so far as to side with the terrorists. The Germans have supported Israel and have issued statement after statement saying the Israelis have the right to defend themselves against Hamas's savagery. And the German leadership has also visited Israel just to show solidarity with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And it's not just Germany, but other European nations as well. Leaders of France, the Netherlands, Greece, and Italy, they've all voiced support for Israel through this war, and they've taken their turn visiting Netanyahu. So it's a welcome development for the Israelis. But in our second segment today, we'll examine this trend and the question of whether it's wise for Netanyahu and the Israelis to really put their trust in these European leaders. That'll be in a report by Trumpet writer Peter Van Halteren. Our third segment today is on a related development, especially when you consider the potential for dramatic escalation in this war, and when you consider how much America would be expected to help the Israelis. But the problem is America's military may not have the power that it seems to have on paper, and it may not have the soldiers available to man all of the important posts. There's a serious enlisting crisis in the U.S. military and a disturbingly low percentage of Americans who could serve even if they wanted to. And this is raising some disturbing questions among officers and planners in just about every branch of the military, which we'll hear all about in a report by Trumpet writer Ezekiel Malone. And then our last word today looks ahead to the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday later this month, and it examines something that each of us can do every day that can foster major improvements in our well-being and outlook. But we begin now with this look at Germany preparing itself for military operations in the Middle East by conquering Cyprus, in this report by Josue Michels.
Without Iranian support over the past several years, Hamas would not have been capable of these unprecedented attacks on Israeli territory, said German Chancellor Olaf Scholz to the Bundestag on October 12th. After Iran subsequently issued threats against Israel, a German Foreign Office spokesman said on October 16th, anyone who plays with fire in this situation, pours oil on the fire or otherwise ignites it, should think twice. The same day, German pilots participated in military exercises around the Mediterranean to prepare to use nuclear weapons. Around the same time, German troops were stationed in Cyprus. We should not overlook these events. We have long pointed to a prophecy in Daniel 11 that speaks about a military clash between radical Islam, led by Iran, and Catholic Europe, led by Germany. For many years, we have pointed to Cyprus's crucial role in these prophecies. Here's what Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Lewis said in a 2013 Key of David. just after Cyprus became a European Union member.
Greetings, everyone. Something really significant has just happened on the world scene, and it's hardly recognized by any of the major powers. But it is a major change in this world that is also a giant step toward a clash between the King of the North and the King of the South. That's the European power and the Iran-led Middle East power. A clash that is getting very, very close. And you can see that by watching world conditions. This little Mediterranean island of Cyprus has just lost the rule of its own country. And yet it is a strategic jewel in this world. If you're talking about warfare of any kind that might occur. Let me read to you Daniel 11, verses 40 and 41, about this prophecy that is about to be fulfilled in the Middle East. Verse 40 of Daniel 11, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him." Iran is just pushing around all over the Middle East, and they're going to push at Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. And that's going to be 10 nations or 10 kings that are united. It's going to be much smaller than what it is right now. And they're going to have some real power to cause all kinds of trouble on this earth. But this verse goes on to say, "And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over." Well, they're going to just come at Iran and the king of the south like a whirlwind, and so fast and so quickly. Is it going to be from the island of Cyprus?
This was Mr. Gerald Flewey from 2013 Key of David. Now consider this in light of the recent conflict in the Middle East. Iran sponsors Hamas financially and militarily. Iran's official goal is to wipe out Israel. At the same time, Germany officially stands at Israel's side and is keenly aware of the Iranian threat. German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock stressed, quote, "Any help Israel needs, it will get from Germany, even military support." This promised support draws Germany into a potential conflict with Iran, just like the Bible prophesied it would happen. Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons, threatening to close important sea roads, and tries to violently get control of Jerusalem. Germany has more than one reason to confront Iran, and it is preparing to do just that, and an important part of that preparation centers around Cyprus. Bild reported on October 18 that German special forces units and equipment were flown to Cyprus to prepare for military missions in the Middle East. This comes after Cyprus's joint military drills with France, Italy, and Greece, and has committed itself to strengthening ties with the European Union. Cyprus's EU membership has pushed Britain out of the strategic island and let Germany in. Moving soldiers to Cyprus enables quick deployment from the Mediterranean Sea for tasks like freeing hostages and evacuating German citizens. Germany has long prepared to make Cyprus a staging ground for military missions in the Middle East. It is now paying off. Politics Today noted on October 11th, "Now that Britain has left the EU, its vital military bases in Cyprus are at the mercy of a Greek Cypriot regime drunk on the political leverage handed to it by Brussels," end of quote. The author suggested using NATO to ensure Britain's military bases don't fall into the hands of the EU. But Cyprus currently has no interest in NATO. In May, Cyprus committed to an increased military build-up. In September, the country hosted a 5-day drill that involved naval and air forces, including French Rafale jet fighters and Airbus A400M Atlas transport aircraft, according to the Cyprus Defense Ministry. The Cypriot president noted that Cyprus has a particular geostrategic significance for the European Union. Cyprus is currently not seeking NATO membership, but instead wants to be at the core of efforts by the European Union to enhance European defences. Few realise it, but Germany is the true force behind the European Union's takeover of Cyprus and its recent military build-up. When Cyprus faced serious economic trouble in 2013, Germany blocked Russia from getting involved and stepped in to offer a bailout package with tough conditions. Mr. Fleury noted in a 2019 article, Cyprus accepted, thus the EU became the de facto ruler of Cyprus. And since Germany is Europe's largest economy and put up the largest share of the money, Germany became the real power in Cyprus, end of quote. Economic ties between the countries have since increased significantly. Military ties have also grown. For 17 years, German troops have been stationed in Cyprus as part of the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon. After Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Cyprus looked to Germany for security. On May 3, 2022, Cyprus and Germany signed their first bilateral defense cooperation program, which includes joint military exercises. Step by step, Germany is ensuring that Cyprus depends on the European Union economically and militarily. Notice what Mr. Fleury said in 2019.
Why does everybody have such passion to get control of Cyprus? Britain has two huge bases there, takes up about 3% of the country. And yet, the nation that's really been controlling that has been the United States. But now Britain is, of course, is coming out of the European Union, which means they're going to lose that control of those bases. And which means also that America is going to be pushed out in just a matter of time. And Europe keeps rising. Germany keeps rising and leading Europe. And it's going to lead the Holy Roman Empire with its powerful nation. And it will be a church-state combine. It is called the Holy Roman Empire. But here is Russia even tried to get control of the little country of Cyprus, that little island, through their business and loans and that type thing. They tried to get control of Cyprus themselves. They, of course, have a naval base in Syria, so that's very important for them to be in that part of the world. But Germany was able to block them and early on made Cyprus a member very quickly of the European Union.
This was Mr. Gerald Fleury from a 2019 Key of David. Due to its strategic location, many have sought to control Cyprus in the past. In his 2019 article, Why Germany Conquered Cyprus, Mr. Fleury explained, quote, look at the map and you can see it is a stepping stone between Europe and the Middle East. It is near Jerusalem. It is near Rome. It is near Berlin. Understand its proximity to these important cities and to strategic areas and you begin to understand why Cyprus has played such a crucial role in history, end of quote. Once again, the trumpet was ahead of its time. Cyprus has become a launchpad for German military intervention in the Middle East, and Germany's control over this nation has long been prophesied. Here's another clip from Mr. Gerald Fleury's Key of David program.
Greetings, everyone. In 1980, Herbert W. Armstrong, the head of the Worldwide Church of God, visited the little island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean Sea. And he was invited there by the leader of that country. And Mr. Armstrong talked to the leader about the Holy Roman Empire about to come on the scene. And it was going to absolutely dominate and even domineer the European scene and the Western world and other parts of the world. It was going to be a superpower. And this was kind of astounding to the leader in Cyprus. If you know the history in the past, well, less than 2,000 years, the Germans have led most of the heads of the Holy Roman Empire. Now today, Germany literally is the sovereign country of Cyprus. It rules that little island And how did that all happen? Just 27 years after Mr. Armstrong told this man, the leader, that the Holy Roman Empire was going to take over Europe.
This was Gerald Flui from his 2019 Key of David program. There are also historic parallels to Germany's control over Cyprus. Mr. Flui wrote, during the Crusades when European warriors descended on the coast of Israel and Lebanon, at times they relied on Cyprus for a base, end of quote. Germany is now using its special forces to intervene in the Middle East, primarily the KSK. The special forces made the news repeatedly for its right-wing extremism. The German government has supposedly cleansed the KSK of its extremist and anti-Semitic views. But can it be trusted? The Bible sounds the alarm. Referencing a prophecy in Daniel 11, Mr. Flui noted, quote, after conquering radical Islam, this European empire will enter also into the glorious land. Speaking of Jerusalem, verse 41, Europe has had its sight on that city for centuries. It views Cyprus as an important waypoint in the path there. The stage is being set for this prophecy's fulfillment. End of quote. It is also no coincidence that this year's Steadfast Noon exercises, in which Germany participates, are being held over Italy, Croatia, and the Mediterranean Sea, away from Russia but closer to the Middle East. 30 NATO members are participating, including Germany. Concerning these exercises, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said, quote, our exercise will help to ensure the credibility, effectiveness and security of our nuclear deterrent. It sends a clear message that NATO will protect and defend all allies, end of quote. The over 1 week-long exercise that ran until October 26 is meant to prepare participating nations to use nuclear weapons. Given Russia's aggression and Iran threats, these routine exercises likely carry far more meaning for each participating nation and individual pilot. The participating pilots may one day carry actual nuclear bombs to an enemy nation. European leaders are now seriously considering what Karl Theodor zu Guttenberg and Ulf Gatzke, when they wrote in 2013, the German government is missing a broader debate, both in public and among top German officials, about what Berlin should do if diplomacy fails and Israel is compelled to take military actions against the Iranian nuclear threat. End of quote. Bible prophecy gives us insight into how this clash will unfold. Daniel 11 verse 40 reads, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him, like a whirlwind, with chariots, and with horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. This verse speaks of two empires that will clash over Jerusalem in the end time, resulting in trouble such as never was since there was a nation, as we read in Daniel 12, verse 1. Taken together with prophecies in Matthew 24, it shows that the resulting war may involve nuclear weapons. Learn more by requesting our free booklet, The King of the South. Mr. Flury writes, Germany has expected to clash with Iran and has been working on a strategy for years now. That strategy is almost complete. Germany has surrounded Iran. Whirlwind in Daniel 11 verse 40 is a very revealing word. It means to sweep away in a storm, according to Jersinius' lexicon. It can mean to bristle with terror. It can also mean terror-stricken or shivering with fear, invoking the creeping of the skin of one who is terrorized. This word has an unusual emphasis on terror. Will this terrifying whirlwind be nuclear? It certainly will be terrorizing, and it is about to explode in the Middle East. Finally, the terrorists themselves will be terrorized. The escalating evil is shocking people around the world, but the Bible warns that we are seeing only the beginning of trouble. Yet we have hope because God's word assures us that Jesus Christ's return is imminent. There are good news. The same prophecies that have proved and are proving true forecast that the next war over Jerusalem will be put down by overwhelming force, by a power greater than Islamic Iran or Catholic Germany. This power will stop all rebellion, set up a new, literal government over Israelis, Germans, Iranians, and all other nations, and enforce peace across the globe, all from this very city that is at the epicenter of so much suffering today, Jerusalem.
Is the voice of the Trumpet News Magazine. You're listening to Trumpet Hour.
Since the earliest days of this conflict, Germany has appeared to resolutely position itself on the right side. Its leaders have talked about Germany's responsibility to Israel due to the history of World War II and the Holocaust, and just how they are obligated to defend Israel. And several other EU nations have taken the same stance. As a result, the Jews are putting more and more of their trust in Europe. But there's reason to believe that this trust is woefully misplaced, as we'll hear about now in this report from trumpet writer Peter Van Halteren.
Leaders of Germany, France, the Netherlands, Greece, and Italy have all taken turns visiting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu the past couple of weeks. And this is to express what appears to be support for Israel amid the war with Hamas. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz was the first to visit on October 17th. And he told Netanyahu, quote, "In such difficult times, there is only one place we can be, at Israel's side. Germany's history and the responsibility it had for the Holocaust requires us to help maintain the security and existence of Israel," unquote. Just a day after that, German special forces units and equipment were flown to Cyprus to prepare for military missions in Israel. Moving soldiers to Cyprus allows for a quick deployment from the Mediterranean Sea to the Middle East. German newspaper Bild said that Germany is preparing for all scenarios as the conflict between Israel and its terrorist neighbors escalates. And then the Netherlands also sent Marines and other personnel to Cyprus for the same reason. Then, on October 21st, Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni visited Netanyahu. She also expressed support. She said, "We defend the right of Israel existing, of defending itself, security for its people." And then, 2 days later, the Israeli leader welcomed both Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis and Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte. Netanyahu told Rutte, "Just as the world united to defeat ISIS, the world has to unite against Hamas, unite with Israel to defeat them." And then Rutte nodded, and he responded by calling the Hamas onslaught horrible and horrific. Netanyahu also urged the Greek leader Mitsotakis to unite with Israel against Hamas. And the Greek leader also assured Netanyahu, he said, "You can count on our support." Then the next day, French President Emmanuel Macron also reassured Netanyahu. "You are not alone," he said. "The fight must be without mercy, but not without rules, because we are democracies that are fighting against terrorists. So here we see a lot of European leaders expressing their support for Israel. So should Israel trust Europe? Support from Europe might be valuable in the short term, especially since the United States is becoming an unreliable ally. But the Bible prophesies of a terrifying turn of events for the Israelis because they place their faith in men instead of God. In his booklet, The King of the South, Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury explains that a German-led Europe will soon unite to conquer the force behind these horrifying attacks on Israel. As the Trumpet has been writing a lot about since the October 7 attacks, that force is Iran and radical Islam, which Daniel 11 verse 40 calls the King of the South. Now we know that this King of the North, this united Europe, will consist of 10 nations or groups of nations, and they will unite together and war against Iran and radical Islam and all its allies. And it will actually conquer this King of the South. It will win. And after this European superpower wins, it will go into Jerusalem. In his book, The King of the South, Mr. Fleury writes, quote, "Notice what their first action is after their victory." And then he quotes Daniel 11, verse 41, which says, "He shall enter also into the glorious land." Mr. Fleury writes, "They enter into the glorious land or the Holy Land." The Hebrew indicates that this is a peaceful entry, not forced. The Jews appear to invite them as peacekeepers, unquote. So these European forces go into Israel and Jerusalem. However, just when it looks like Israel is about to have peace, the nation will realize it has completely misplaced its faith. There's a prophecy in Jeremiah 1, verses 14 and 15, that talks about these united European nations, and it calls them the families of the kingdoms of the north. And it says that they will attack Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah in a spectacular double cross. It says, "Out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Eternal, and they shall come, and they shall set every one of his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah." So we read here about this spectacular double cross that Germany and these European nations will commit against Jerusalem and Israel. And you can read Ezekiel 23 for even more detail about this. In his booklet, Jerusalem and Prophecy, Mr. Fleury writes, quote, "This army has just conquered the King of the South and is probably there to keep peace in Jerusalem. The Holy Roman Empire will undoubtedly make some kind of peace pact to protect Jerusalem. It will look like the world is about to have peace." He continues, "At that point, this European power will double cross the Jews. It will become one of the greatest double crosses in the history of man," unquote. There's another prophecy in Psalm 83 that also proves that Germany and its European allies will double cross Israel. Psalm 83 mentions Asser, which is an ancient biblical name for what we know today as Germany. And it describes Asser as having an alliance with other nations such as Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, and other Arab peoples. Then in verse 4, it says about this alliance, "They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." So this alliance of Germany and Arab nations will work together to destroy Israel rather than keeping the peace. In a September 2020 episode of The Key of David titled Psalm 83 Prophecy, Mr. Gerald Fleury actually talks about these exact events. The King of the North coming to conquer the King of the South, then entering Jerusalem as a peacekeeping force, and then attacking it in a big double cross.
Notice Daniel 11, verse 40. "And at the time of the end," this is the end time now, "shall the King of the South push at him, and the King of the North shall come against him like a whirlwind." Now, and they're going to destroy them. This is the King of the North, or Germany and the Europeans, the Holy Roman Empire, that's going to attack Iran, and they're going to destroy them. Notice verse 41. He shall enter also into the glorious land, into Jerusalem of all places. He's entered, this army is entering into the glorious land. Now that word enter in no way applies to force. So everything indicates it's a, they're letting them do this because they want to have peace with, well, Germany and the moderate Arabs. They think they already have peace with them. But they're in for a big double cross if they don't listen to God. That's why God warns them.
So the Hebrew in Daniel 11 verse 41 indicates that this European power will enter into Jerusalem peacefully. Israel will invite them to keep the peace after all these wars have just taken place. But then, as Mr. Fleury says, this German-led Europe will turn on them and seek to take over in Jerusalem as well. And this betrayal will cause terrible suffering for Israel. And as Mr. Fleury said, this is because they will not listen to God's warning. But fortunately, there is also good news. All wars in the Middle East and elsewhere will eventually be put down by a power far greater than this European army. Jesus Christ will return. He will put down this King of the North and all other armies. And after that, He will establish the true and everlasting peace that Jerusalem has been longing for. And you can read about that in Isaiah 66, verses 10 through 12. So all these prophecies about wars and the betrayal that Germany will commit against Israel teach us that we shouldn't put our trust in man to restore peace, but it is only God that will truly bring peace to this earth forever. To learn more about the prophecy surrounding Europe's betrayal of Israel, read our November-December Trumpet magazine article titled, Should Israel Trust Germany? And you can also order for completely free our books titled, The King of the South and Jerusalem in Prophecy. And these will help you get the full picture of these prophecies and what they are leading to.
This is Trumpet Hour.
This war looks like it could be a real turning point in global affairs, with protests proliferating and tensions soaring in cities around the world, and with some saying this shows that it's time for Israel to be erased from the maps. And it's not just deranged individuals, but several powerful nations, such as Russia and China, are essentially taking the side of the terrorists. So it looks like there's great potential for escalation. And amid that backdrop, some very worrying data has emerged about Israel's most important ally, the United States, and the true strength of America's military, and its inability to even find Americans willing and able to enlist. It seems like this enlistment crisis in America couldn't come at a worse time, as we'll hear about now in this report from trumpet writer Ezekiel Malone.
The American military is in crisis. A senior Defense Department official told STARS for a June 30th report, quote, I've been studying the recruiting market for about 15 years, and we've never seen a condition quite like this, end quote. According to a July 18th Wall Street Journal analysis by Ben Kessling, the United States military will fall drastically short of its enlisting goals this year. It will fall an estimated 15,000 short in the Army, 10,000 short in the Navy, and 3,000 short in the Air Force. The Marine Corps should meet its boot camp goal this year, but its leaders now find recruiting a lot more challenging. Senator Tom Tillis, the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee personnel panel, said, quote, every single metric tracking the military recruiting environment is going in the wrong direction, end quote. According to a Mission Readiness January 24th report, 77% of young Americans are no longer fit for military service due to a lack of physical fitness, insufficient mental health, low test scores, criminal records, alcohol or drug abuse, and other factors. Most ineligible youth are disqualified for multiple reasons. In addition, a study from the American Security Project conducted last month found that nearly 70% of U.S. troops are overweight or obese. COVID also greatly contributed to this crisis. Catherine Kuzminski, the head of the Military, Veterans, and Society Program at the Center for a New American Security, said, quote, "You can't underestimate the fact that we didn't have recruiters on college and high school campuses for 2 years," end quote. Those years, of course, referring to the lockdown years. General David Berger said the military's COVID vaccine mandate, which lifted January 10th, also pushed many potential recruits away and decreased overall numbers. However, there is a much larger cause at play here. The biggest reason the United States military is experiencing today's crisis is that young people no longer want to fight for their country. The aforementioned Wall Street Journal report also said that, last year, only 9% of Americans aged 16 to 21 said they were considering military service, which was a 4% drop from before COVID. Admiral Mike Mullen, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said the preoccupation with social media is playing a role in this decline and that influencers are not telling young people to join the military. Social media and education teach young people to hate their country and that bettering themselves is completely unnecessary. They believe the world simply has to accept their undeveloped selves for who they are. But not only do young people have no interest in fighting for their country, they have no interest in gaining the physical ability to even be able to fight. And this ideology all goes back to one thing: leftism's propagation of woke theory. The woke movement has taken hold of the United States military, especially since its move to fourth-wave feminism. The Obama administration filled the military with as much left-wing ideology as it could, which was a very unwise move. Woke theory goes against any strategy that can be successful in a military. For instance, the theory teaches that most, if not all, authority is oppressive. If one believes all authority oppressive, they won't feel too inclined to join the military. And if there is no government in an organization, especially in a military, it will fall. Fast. Organizations based on this ideology cannot last for very long. For example, CHAZ, the left-wing Seattle secessionist state from the Summer of Love, ran out of food in less than 16 hours and devolved into a dictatorship run by SoundCloud rapper Raz Simone within a day. Another major pitfall in the woke message is its attack on men. A nation's success greatly rests upon whether or not it can inspire its young men to fight for it. Woke theory's message, which preaches against men's quote-unquote toxic masculinity, the very masculinity men would need to win a war, does not stir men from their couches to go risk their lives for a country they've been taught to hate. Concerning the older generation, woke theory teaches that fathers aren't essential to the well-being of children. This belief is also having a great effect on the U.S. military. In Father Absent Homes, Implications for Criminal Justice and Mental Health Professionals by Jared Brown, the Minnesota Psychological Association said children who grow up without fathers are more likely to face 1. Perceived abandonment, 2. Attachment issues, 3. Child abuse, 4. Childhood obesity, 5. Criminal justice involvement, 6. Gang involvement, 7. Mental health issues, 8. Poor school performance, 9. Poverty and homelessness, and 10. Substance use. 6 of those 10 factors are common reasons why so many young people are unfit for military service, and the others could certainly deter one from a military career. The propagation of woke theory is the result of a dramatic decline in American morals, and it is this decline in morals that backed Herbert W. Armstrong's predictions from the 1930s that the United States would eventually fall as a military superpower. Starting back in the 30s, Mr. Armstrong predicted in detail the current state of world affairs. His warnings, which seemed ridiculous to some at the time, have continued to come to pass time and time again. For instance, shortly after America's victory in World War II, Mr. Armstrong warned that the U.S. would soon reach the point of losing the pride of its world-dominating power, the very development we see so often today. During the Korean War, he said that the mighty United States had won its last war after World War II, and in 1967, 1947, he said that mankind is caught in the vortex of the swiftly accelerating crisis marking utter destruction of the world. These may have seemed impossible due to the then might of the U.S. superpower, but look at how things are today. His predictions did not stop there either. Not only did he foretell America's fall, but which civilizations would be on the rise today, including the current unofficial leader of the European Union, Germany, a country that was war-torn and divided when he was foretelling these things. How was Mr. Armstrong able to do this? The answer is quite simple. He looked to Bible prophecy. The solution to this crisis and all the world's problems are found in the Bible. And this particular crisis was somewhat prophesied in Isaiah 3, which foretells of curses God would bring upon Jerusalem and Judah. In his free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, Mr. Armstrong proves that this prophecy refers to modern-day Israel, the United Kingdom, and the United States of America. Verses 1 through 4 of the chapter say, "The Lord, the Eternal of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." The first 12 verses of that chapter perfectly describe America today. It fully explains why the American military is experiencing today's enlisting crisis, because America's, quote, "doings are against the Lord," end quote, from verse 8 of that chapter. The people have refused to turn to God, so they are being cursed with a broken will. The enlisting crisis will only end if the U.S. undergoes a complete moral turnaround. World War III is coming. Even many who don't pay attention to the Bible can see that, and the U.S. military is not in the shape required to survive this war. America is on track to fall prey to internal division and to a foreign threat growing even as you listen to this. Because of the moral decline in America, crises like this enlisting crisis will continue to multiply and worsen. The Bible says the United States will not have the power needed to survive World War III, and today's enlisting crisis will play a major role in that fall.
It's time for today's last word.
Well, we're just a couple of weeks out now from Thanksgiving here in the United States. And in the context of that holiday, I wanted to mention a phenomenon called headwind-tailwind asymmetry. One area where you can see this clearly is if you're running, just getting a couple of miles in for exercise. And if the wind is fighting against you, a headwind blowing against your path, then you are acutely aware of it. You focus on the fact that it's making every step difficult, and for as long as you run in that direction, you're generally going to be thinking about that headwind and how hard it makes every step. But then the runner reaches the turnaround point and begins the return trip. And wow, what a glorious change. Suddenly, the exercise hardly even feels like exercise. It's almost effortless, just gliding along with the wind at your back. But what researchers have found is that, unlike the first half of the run with the headwind, in that second half, a runner quickly forgets about the tailwind. After just a few minutes, you forget that you're being pushed along. The thoughts return to leg pain, discomfort in the lungs, soreness on the soles of the feet. But then you have to turn around again, and boy, do you notice that the headwind is back. So it's a bias that people have, asymmetry. And it's not just with running. Headwind, tailwind, asymmetry is a natural way to view essentially everything in our lives. We're prone to focus on the obstacles, and even to feel persecuted by them and kind of obsess over them for every second that they're in our lives. But then when a refreshing change in circumstances comes along, we may appreciate it for a little while, but we're likely to let that appreciation dim and eventually dissipate. We're likely to just get used to the tailwind and kind of forget that it's there, making our life easier and better, so we take it for granted. But if we can work against this natural tendency and try to remain grateful for the tailwinds, the many blessings that are given to us, then we will have a better life in numerous ways. Mr. Joel Hilliker is the managing editor of the Philadelphia Trumpet and the former host of this show, and he wrote an article on this topic last year. One section of it says, "If you build your life around praise and thanks, it will transform your thinking, making you happier, more joyful, more generous, and more of a person after God's own heart." Mr. Hilliker goes on from there to quote commentator Dennis Prager, who wrote, "Virtually nothing is as significant to a good life as gratitude. Gratitude is the mother of both happiness and goodness. The ungrateful can be neither happy nor good. All happy people and all good people are grateful people. Anything that undermines gratitude undermines happiness and goodness, and nothing undermines gratitude as much as taking something or someone for granted." End quote. So that's a powerful bit of insight there, just showing how potent a force gratitude is and how detrimental a lack of it will be. It just shows how foundational gratitude is to anyone who aims to live an upright life. I'll just share a little bit more from Mr. Hilliker's article here. This section is about children specifically, and he's discussing a Villanova University study that was conducted back in 2018. The researchers there surveyed a group of 12 to 17-year-olds, and the survey was about their attitudes toward materialism and gratitude. And in this study, the researchers split these young people into two groups and instructed them to keep a journal every day for several weeks. One group was told just to basically write down the activities of the day for their journal entry each day. And the other was asked to record what they were grateful for. So each day they would write a list of things that they appreciated. So then at the end of those few weeks, these young people were asked to answer another survey, and they were given 10 $1 bills. Each of them was given 10 $1 bills. And the researchers told them that they could keep all of the money or they could give some of it to charity. And Mr. Hilliker writes about the way the two different groups behaved. He writes, "The teens who simply recorded their activities had no change in thankfulness or materialism. Those who kept gratitude journals, however, were notably more grateful and less materialistic, and they gave away 2/3 of their earnings. Just focusing on what they were thankful for made them more thankful, happier, and more generous." And then he writes, "If you want happy children, teach them to be thankful children. If you want giving children, train them to be grateful children, just as God does with his children." Then a little further down, he writes, "When you're unthankful, you really aren't seeing God. Thanksgiving helps you see God more clearly. It puts your mind onto him and all his blessings. It helps you recognize his touches in your daily life. Fill your life with praise and thanksgiving. Use this as a tool to become happier, more joyful, more generous, more spiritual, more God-centered, more loving, and to become a person after God's own heart." End quote. So there are some really powerful insights in that article. Mr. Hilliker even lists some specific psalms that can teach us specific ways to be more grateful in certain areas. We'll leave a link to that article in the show notes for today's episode. And I think it's an excellent read for those who want to learn to not take those headwinds so personally, not to get too, you know, crestfallen and downtrodden by the inevitable obstacles of life, and for those who want to remain deeply grateful for the tailwinds, for all the blessings, instead of getting kind of used to them and just forgetting that those blessings are there. Well, we are now coming to the end of this episode of Trumpet Hour. Please check out our show notes either on SoundCloud or on thetrumpet.com. and you'll find links there to the articles that today's reports were based on. So just search for Trumpet Hour on SoundCloud or visit thetrumpet.com. And please send any comments you may have about today's episode. The address is letters@thetrumpet.com. Many thanks to my guests, Josue Michels, Peter Van Halteren, and Ezekiel Malone. Thanks also to Nicholas Irwin and Isaac Lorenz for their role in the audio work for this episode. And I'll leave you with this thought from Voltaire. Appreciation is a wonderful thing. It makes what is excellent in others belong to us as well. Thank you for joining us on Trumpet Hour. Until next time, keep watching your world.